Good morning, everyone. My name is Kalia Owens, and I am here to bring you guys Through the Nursing Lens, an interactive podcast where we'll discuss nursing news, highlight nursing topics and careers, as well as build our nurse tribe.
On today's show, we'll recap the last few months of coronavirus, navigating a pandemic as a nurse, and what it means to be a Black nurse in the wake of the revolution.
Good afternoon, everyone. We have not chatted in, it's been a couple of months now. And I said it's been a while. So I wanted to connect with you guys. And just, man, where do we start, right? Like, I want to say our last podcast was about 2, maybe 3 months ago. And, you know, you could not tell me so much would have changed in such a short amount of time. So let's first and foremost start this off with like just a nice deep breath. Like breathe in and breathe out through your mouth. Because what a year. So we kicked off 2020 with a kind of like a 2020 vision plan. And, you know, I've been seeing so many different memes out, and a lot of them was just highlighting how everything that's going on right now is really making our vision clear, right? So when we kicked off the year, we talked about 2020 being the year of like 2020 vision. Well, think about it. There is so much that has been revealed to us. And I really encourage you guys to do some homework, which is reflections, because I love reflections, and really think about, like, we are 6 months into 2020. What has 2020 taught you? So kind of write that down as like your first touch point. I know that it is hard to just really reflect right now because some of us are still going a mile a minute. Others are just trying to like process the chaos. And then there may be some people who've adjusted to the new normal. So whatever it is that you are going through right now, I just want to tell you it's okay. Like, it's okay to go through it. Give yourself permission to be out of whack. Give yourself permission to be behind on your goals if that's what you're concerned about. And give yourself permission to, you know, clap for yourself if you're just killing it right now. Because a lot of people have been. When this whole thing first started, I took the position that, you know, you should be pivoting quickly. And I remember the first couple of weeks, those memes were getting a lot of backlash when it was just like, you know, if you're not starting a business, if you're not, you know, doing all these things right now, like, you know, if you didn't have, it wasn't the time you were missing, it was the discipline. And I realized since then that it is a combination of different things that causes us to, be unable to adjust quickly. And that's really what I want to kind of introduce in, is that this whole thing has really shown you, if nothing else, who you are, right? And I think that there is no good or bad way to kind of peel back that onion. It's just a matter of like, are you happy with what you saw? Or do you feel like you wanted to do something differently? I remember being just in a state of like panic for about a week. So I'm gonna tell y'all what I remember, right? Because it seems like coronavirus started so long ago, and it's really like 2 or 3 months ago. But I remember I went to New Orleans, and this was before like coronavirus or anything was a big deal, at least in Texas, right? Because information travels differently to different areas. But in Texas, coronavirus was not a big deal because I went to Mardi Gras And Mardi Gras was like end of February, first week of March. And then I remember the next week was St. Patrick's Day. And there were some like recommendations not to go out, but there was not like a hard stop to anything. So I remember I went to a bar for St. Patrick's Day. I was like a little uncomfortable because I knew people had been preparing, and it was kind of like that unknown, like, okay, I'm a nurse, I know better, but you know, it's like, what is the information saying? What do we really know? YOLO, right? And so then right afterwards, we got hit with a stay-at-home order. And I really think I was okay with the stay-at-home order, but it wasn't until I went to the grocery stores. And y'all remember how these grocery stores were. Like, let us not forget the toilet paper debacles. It wasn't until I went to the grocery store that I got into a true panic. And I'll tell you, that panic came from the fact that, like, we could all probably be okay if we all chilled out, but because everybody else was panicking, I started to panic. And I realized at that moment that a lot of us, we didn't know. Like, you know, you think about it, like, what did you have to trust? Who did you have to trust? Should you trust the news? Should you trust your instincts? Should you trust your neighbor who, I remember I had a neighbor who was, they had a van, like they had rented a van full of toilet paper. And so, my kind of plan to get through and to adjust was like, okay, Kalia, worst case scenario, you get hit with coronavirus, you're down for 2 weeks. As a young single woman, you may not have anyone to come and take care of you. So I stocked up on like nurse things, like, okay, I don't want to have to go out for Tylenol or Kleenex or sore throat. I don't want to have to cook, you know, those things. And so I think once I had a plan, I was pretty like, all right, I'm going to survive the zombie apocalypse. What I think we really weren't prepared for was the length of time that this has taken. So I think we were under the impression, or maybe it was just me, under the impression that it was going to hit and then it was going to go away. And so you were kind of like, all right, you know, think about like a tornado hitting, like, okay, you go to the basement or you go to your shelter and you're there and this, you know, the tornado passes or the storm passes and you come out and it's like, ah, back to normal. So for that to have happened in March and it's now end of June and we are still in some sort of like twilight zone. And I don't know how you guys feel, but that's how I feel. I feel like, it's normal, but it's not normal. And so, I wanted to really highlight, like, if we need to clap for ourselves for getting past the first, and my favorite meme is like, welcome to level, you know, 5 of Jumanji. So we need to like clap for ourselves, especially as nurses, right? So, lifestyle wise, we took a crazy hit, but let's talk about hospitals. And that deserves like a little pause. So, work wise, I work behind the scenes in education. So, my experience may not be the same as your experiences, but I want to first give you guys kudos because what the F. Like, to be an educator during this time where I have to look my nurses in their eyes and tell them why and how to recycle a mask that has coronavirus on it and how they have to put it in a brown paper baggie, and you know, it's almost like a slap in the face. And I say that because I know as a frontline nurse, I would be calling bullshit, right? But I know as an educator, kind of being stuck between, you know, upper leadership and your frontline nurses, you kind of have a bird's eye view of things that it makes it tough for you because you see the bigger picture, right? Like, I understood why we had to do it, even though in essence, it didn't make sense, but I understood why we had to do it. And I understood also the fear of my nurses who were like, you got to be shitting me. What do you want me to do? You want me to recycle my personal protective equipment that's supposed to save my life, like fold it neatly in this corner and use it again for multiple patients? And yeah, it's a constant feeling of being torn. And when I think about what my nurses had to go through, I mean, every day it was just some level of anxiety that they felt, you know, to the point where some of my nurses were crying before they had to come on to their shifts. And that doesn't make you feel good. Like, especially as an educator, we crack a joke that educators are the aunties of the hospital. Because you have like your mom and dad, which is like leadership, and they're like telling you what you do and what you need to do. And, you know, you might like it, you might not like it, but you always run to your aunties and like complain. And you're like, you know, leadership has us doing this and my manager has me doing that. And we listen and we want to help, but we don't want to overstep boundaries. So it was very nice to kind of navigate that space where, you know, when I was with my nurses, I had to kind of be more, like just be a listening ear, just knowing that you couldn't do anything. And, I did feel a little sad because this is my second year now away from the bedside. And, you know, to be a nurse, you have so much pride in what you do, regardless of if you love it or if you hate it. It's something about like obtaining a nursing degree that you just have this level of like pride in everything that you do. And so it did make me feel just a little like, man, I wish I could be on the front lines. And I think in so many different ways, we are all called to serve, whether it's our nurse practitioners, our leadership that are, you know, making decisions, our nurse practitioners that are trying to do what's best. I think however it works out, there's just this underlying theme of like you nurse in the best way that you nurse, like the best way that you know how, given the circumstances. And so this whole podcast or this whole episode is really just about like clapping for yourself and giving yourself grace and like really reflecting on how far we have come and some of those like trials and tribulations that they were once in our face and we did not know how we were going to get over them. And now look at us, like we are spearheading a revolution, right? As minority nurses, as Black nurses, as nurses of color, like we are really, we just have a very unique opportunity now to be a part of change on so many forefronts. And whether that's change in healthcare, right, with coronavirus and getting people back to their best selves, whether that's change with what we see going on now with our protests and our revolution that we are having. You know, my favorite shirt is, it says, I am my ancestors' wildest dreams. And I want that to resonate with us. Like, I want that to really sit with you, like whether it's your nursing dreams, whether it's your life dreams, you know, we are really at a crossroads right now. And I want us to really feel empowered to pick the ball up and run with it. And so just looking at coronavirus, I have some numbers down. So the United States is at 10 million. 10 million. I think it was like 10.3 million coronavirus cases. 10.3 million. Of that, we've had 507,000 deaths. And I can't imagine, like, the way our day-to-day lives have changed. My aunt actually passed away of lung cancer. Not sure if it was connected to coronavirus or not. We didn't get her tested, but I had to watch her funeral on Zoom. And this is like my A1 auntie, like my homegirl. Like at the family reunion, she like, girl, come up to my hotel room and I'm about to give you all the tea on Uncle so-and-so and cousin so-and-so. And like, I couldn't even fly home and like honor her and respect her the way I wanted to. And so it's so many other people that I've heard, you know, their family or friends have passed away and they couldn't even honor them in death the way they, you know, wanted to. And so, so even how we're grieving right now is just completely different. It's completely different. And so again, if you are struggling through any of this, you have like 1,000% right to, because the way we are like eating and sleeping and breathing and moving is just, it's completely different. It's just completely different. So we look at coronavirus and midway through, so that's like March, April, well, somewhere in mid-April to May, we just get this bomb dropped on us as a Black community, right? Like as if it wasn't hard enough for us as African-Americans, minorities, people of color, then you get hit with, hey, you know that diabetes, you know that heart disease, you know that obesity that's never truly addressed in our communities? Well, that's actually causing our people, our communities, to die from coronavirus at a higher rate than any other community. And so you're like, great. You know, it's just like a slap in the face, right? And we're already doing like triple duty. Like we're already just like living the Black experience, right? And then as Black nurses, minority nurses, we are walking into spaces where we now have to live as Black nurses. And then we have to advocate. We have to advocate for ourselves. We have to advocate for our patients. You're probably advocating 10 times harder if they're African American, or if you know that they, you know, can't afford something or they don't have a voice. And then you get hit with this, which is like, and when a global pandemic hits, you guys, we are the first to, you know, just be hit so hard. And I don't know about you guys, but it made me angry. It made me angry to the point that I was like numb. And it's exhausting because you are already trying to like pandemic. You're trying to like adult and pandemic. And then you get hit with this news that's kind of like, you know, it's just kind of like a sunken feeling in your stomach. And if you guys didn't take a listen, Diddy hosted a really nice YouTube kind of video. It's on YouTube and it's called The State of Black America. And he had Angela Rye and he had some amazing speakers come on. And, you know, they just kind of discussed it. And it's a tough listen because whenever someone brings up issues in the Black community, we know that these issues exist. You live with them. You have aunts that have them. You have uncles that have them. You have parents that have them. You might have, you know, some type of health issue. And then to hear it kind of spoken about, and you know that the companies that can fix it, the people that can fix it, the people that can support it, they really don't care, right? Like, it was trendy news. It was something for the media to write about. And I don't know about you guys, but I didn't really hear any solutions. I didn't hear any solve. I didn't hear, you know, this is what we're going to commit to. And it's disheartening. It's already, you know, it's disheartening. And so it makes you love on your close ones, on your loved ones a little bit more. You know, it makes you just have a little bit more pride, a little bit more strength, because you know that you know what your community faces, and you know what that means for you to be a Black nurse now. Like, it just gives it so much more meaning when you know that you are kind of carrying just that voice for your community. And so that's how I felt, and that's how I want you guys to feel. But I was angry at first. I was just like, you know, one thing about it is the joy from Black people is unmatched. Like, I'm watching these memes on Instagram, and I'm like, we are so resilient because we are hilarious. Like, we will crack a joke about anything, like anything, and we will make it go like Twitter viral, and we gonna get our 7 laughs out of any situation, because it's like, how else am I gonna survive just blow after blow after blow, you know? And so hopefully nobody is truly offended by those jokes or by those things that go around, but just remind yourself to laugh a little bit, because, you know, it's just real. It's real. It is. So somewhere around mid-April, we got hit with that news. And then, you know, just out of nowhere, states start opening back up. And you're kind of like, you know, it's like level 6 of Jumanji. Like, what is this? And so I'm into politics. If you guys are not, you know, quote unquote into politics, I would highly recommend that at least during this time, you subscribe to some sort of political blog or podcast, or listen in on some conversation. You know, do what you can tolerate, because politics is a lot. And do it from a reliable source. And I'll write down some sources that I use. But now is the time to really look at our systems and what is causing it. Because I'll say, when everything first hit, you kind of take like a victim mode. Like, everything is happening to you and you have no control over anything. And that's just your mind kind of in like this fight or flight mode, and, you know, trying to make sense of the chaos. But eventually, you know, we should be looking at like the source of the issue and really feeling empowered to say, okay, I'm gonna focus on, you know, voting, because I know if I vote, then I can at least control who gets into office. And if I can control who gets into office, you know, hopefully I can pick someone who advocates for my communities, or who puts funding towards healthcare or education or student loans or the things that I'm passionate about. And so that's why I say, you know, just pay attention to politics, at least the candidates, maybe not the day to day, but at least the candidates, so that you can just make wise decisions, because, you know, the people making decisions for us, so for example, Texas, the same people who are opening up, we were the first to open up here in Texas, and guess who's the first to close back down? So we just got a mandate a couple days ago that we are, scaling back on our capacity and closing in certain areas. Our bars are closed now. And so, when you take a look at what's going on, I want to make sure that we as nurses are informed, because I read a really good article about like nursing and our political power, and I think that we have a collective voice, and it's one that is strong, right? Like nurses are well respected, we are well educated, we have experience, and we have the knowledge. And so I just don't want us to underestimate our collective power when we stand behind something. So I'm kind of like a girl fan of Lauren Underwood, who is representative for Illinois. And it's just because she's a nurse, and if anything, she stands behind things that supports nurses and supports healthcare. And it's at the individual level. It's at the level where we can really make change. It's just like, yeah, you make the most change when you walk into that patient's room with a smile and with a positive attitude and with words of encouragement. And you make the most on an individual level when you turn them, when you give them a bath, when you make them feel good before their family comes in, when you explain something in a way that they understand, when you educate them. So we know our power, right? Even if, that doctor walks in and you know that they're gonna immediately get all of this respect and all of these accolades, and they're gonna spend 5, maybe 10 minutes in that room. But you know the day that that patient had, because you've been with them for 12 hours. And that's the power that I feel like we as nurses have in politics that I would love for us to just tap into more. Like, we know what makes sense. We know what healthcare should look like. We know when it doesn't look like it, right? Like, we know what bad healthcare looks like. You know when you're getting a report and you're looking at this patient and you like, that nurse ain't doing nothing with that patient all night or all day. You know it. You know what it looks like. You don't gotta pinpoint nothing. You just know. So, if you are frustrated about some of the things that are going on, I encourage you to just be more educated and be more informed on what's going on. One of the things that happened is they passed the PPP or the CARES Act. And so I have a really good video actually that we did a Zoom call. And for those of you who were able to tune in, great. We did a Zoom call breaking down the CARES Act. And it was really important to me that I got that out to you guys, because I think as both Black people and Black nurses, just minorities overall, I feel like we are the last to benefit or reap the benefits of things that are supposed to be given to us. And so, case in point, I have this book called Black Wealth, White Wealth, and it's really, really good if you guys get a chance to read it. But one of the things that it highlights is right after slavery, the 40 acres and a mule that we, always hear about, it was real. It was in fact a reparations program. Think of it like any other type of program. Think about it like your stimulus check. It was just like that. But there were complaints of it being given to just Black people. So the government opened it up so that all people could apply to it. And so what ended up happening was the program changed, and we never got the original form of the program. We actually never even benefited from what that program ended up being, because it ended up being majority white males that benefited. And it wasn't a 40 acres and a mule program anymore. It ended up transitioning and going through changes, and you know, as the story goes, we ended up with nothing. And so when I think about what is being offered to us right now, you know, not just the stimulus check, but we did a post about nursing side hustles. How many of those women who have a nursing brand, who have a nursing business, applied for that PPE loan, right? Because that's the information that we aren't always privy to, because it takes a financial advisor or an accountant or someone who's familiar with it to know how we can benefit. So a lot of people were like, oh, the PPE loan is a loan. Well, it turns into a grant if you have payroll. Well, guess who you can put on payroll? Yourself. So many people, i.e. companies, corporations, small businesses that weren't African-American, that weren't really struggling, so many applied for it, put themselves on payroll, and boom, you got $20,000. And that's okay. But I need us to know about that. I need us to really take the initiative to learn about what's going on around us. And it's so easy for us to just be passive right now. We're tired. We have children. We have commitments. You know, it's a lot. Like, I'm not saying go out and like change the world. I'm just saying pick one area and kind of like just divulge into it, because right now, everything that we want is at our fingertips. And I don't want any of us to miss the opportunity to get money for our businesses, the opportunity to advocate. I don't know how many people actually signed the petition, but there was a petition going around for it to include student loans. There was a petition going around for hazard pay. So again, this kind of goes back to like our collective voices, but please, 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 if you don't do anything after coronavirus or during coronavirus, just pick one area and say, hey, in the next 6 months, I'm going to be more informed about this topic. So that's my like coronavirus rant. I know they're saying numbers went up, and there's been a lot of questions about if numbers are going up because of, you know, because we have more testing. Is numbers going up because of our protests? Is numbers going up because, you know, so many different factors, and how we're treating coronavirus has changed so much. First, we were putting people on ventilators. Then we were saying, hey, it's taking too long for people to get off of ventilators. So we stopped, and different current practices. Kudos to all of my New York nurses, like all of you guys, you are the real MVPs. And there were people who traveled out to New York, early on. There were a lot of nurses who put their lives on the line. And just in general, as frontline nurses, there were a lot of nurses who took a hit, you know, several stories of nurses who took a hit and got coronavirus. I have a girlfriend who actually got hit with coronavirus as a traveler, and she did her 2 weeks and she bounced back. You know, she stayed with her family and she went back out there. And nurses, we are so resilient. You know, make sure, is what clap are we on? Or like our fourth clap? Like, clap for yourself again, because no matter what role you play, whether you were, you know, getting called off. There were a lot of people who were getting called off and their hours were cut, and you had to kind of pivot quickly and figure out what to cut and how to make things work. I mean, we're just phenomenal. Like, nurses are phenomenal. And it is literally my life mission to make sure that we tap into all of our like greatness and our dopeness, because I don't think that the world recognizes us. And not just as nurses, but as Black nurses. So kind of leading into our revolution, right? And if you guys don't think that there's a revolution going on, oh my gosh, think again. I was talking to one of my like elders, and they were saying that the rate of change that we have just amassed in the past couple of weeks since George Floyd's death is just, it's phenomenal, right? And if you don't know like what kind of changes have been made, just kind of as a recap, they've implemented Breonna's Law, which kind of takes away the no-knock warrants. And that's in honor of Breonna Taylor, who was a young lady who died at the hands of a police officer who had the wrong house, and he had a warrant for the house he was in, but he was at the wrong house, came in, shot and killed her in her sleep. Her officer is still out free. So if you guys have not signed petitions, please stay diligent in making sure that she gets justice. We all witnessed the very horrific murder of George Floyd, and for myself, I'll be honest, I could not watch the video. And I couldn't watch the video because I would cry, and I'm sure people cried. I know what happened. Like, I don't want to say like I didn't watch the video. I didn't watch the whole video because that's too much for me to stomach. Like, I can't live being black and then witness that to that extent. It's just too much. It is. It is. But I know the story. I know it. I've seen the beginning part. I didn't see the end. I can't watch someone just like lie lifeless on the ground while someone has like their knee on their neck and they're just smiling, just very smug. It reminds me, it breaks me, I'll be honest. And sometimes I think that that is the goal. That's why these very horrific things happen, and that's why they record it, is to remind us that in an instant, our lives can be taken. It brings up a lot of memories of like just being treated really poorly as a black nurse. And I mean, again, nothing as crazy as death, but it makes me feel helpless, and I don't like that feeling of feeling helpless. I'll tell you, I was one of my first jobs. I remember being told that I was going to get the flu. Like, your first year as a nurse, you're going to get really, really sick, and then after that, like, you'll never get sick. And remember, I've been in nursing for like 2 years or 10 years, I'm sorry. And so I got really, really sick my first year. I ended up having the flu. And when I was on the unit, and I was telling my charge nurse, I was like, "Hey, I don't think something is right because I just feel really off." And she was like, "Oh, well, let's go take your temperature." And it was a young white girl. And we took my temperature, and it was 103, like 103. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, like I need to go to the emergency room, And although I was kind of like, I'm not gonna say I was feeling well, I wasn't feeling like 103, but I did feel like something was wrong. And she was like, "Well, if you don't feel that bad, could you stay? Because then we'll have to get another nurse to replace you." And I remember thinking, I was just like fresh off of orientation 10 years ago. And I remember thinking, I don't want to ruffle any feathers. I don't want to get in trouble. So I'll just stay. And she was like, "After you pass your meds, go into the break room and put your head down for a little bit, and we'll watch your patients." And I was like, okay, that kind of sounded like a plan. I was still a little like unsure about it, but I was like, it sounded like teamwork to me. So I went and I passed my meds. And once I was done, I was like, "Hey, everybody's good." I work night shift. I was like, "Everybody's good." And I went and I put my head down. And I wasn't like full blown, like passed out sleep, but I was just like, okay, this is not a horrible shift. I'm being a team player. Like, life is working out. So maybe about 30, 45 minutes. We used to get like an hour break. So I came back and I thought everything was fine. I checked on my patients. Everybody was good. Life was good. Left the next morning. I took the next couple of days off and I thought life was good. I get an email from my manager and she was saying that the girls had complained that I had fell asleep during my shift. And I was like super confused. Like I was like, wait, what? So I explained, I called going to the office on my off day and I explained to her what happened. And she was like, well, if you were sick, you should have just went home. And I'm like explaining to her how this charge nurse was like, I think it's best if you stay. And I mean, full blown guilt tripped me because I was very like new nursey. And I know that this level of like naiveness probably doesn't exist anymore. But I was like that naive new nurse, like whatever people want, I'll do because I'm a new nurse and I'm scared that I'm going to kill somebody. And it was just like, oh, wow. Okay. So I went to the girls and I asked them, I was like, hey, ladies, you know, you were the ones that kind of told me to not go home and that we would be short staffed and to go in there and put my head down, you know, and then you went to the manager and you said that I was asleep. And they looked at each other and they were like, no, we didn't. And clearly someone said something because I'm in my boss's office and she's literally going to write me, not write me up. It was a automatic termination for going to sleep. I told her that I wasn't even asleep. I was like, I just went in there and put my head down during my break. So she ended up writing me up for like an extended break or something very like, still don't understand, but okay, I guess. Thanks. And I remember leaving work and feeling destroyed. Like, I remember feeling like, and I remember walking out and like my head was down and I looked at the girl and she just kind of had like this smug, like, ha. And that is how I feel when I watch crimes against Black people, against innocent Black people. And I say innocent, like whatever he was doing, writing checks for $20, George Floyd, it's just like take the man to jail, give him a ticket, and send him on his way. But I get, I guess triggered would be the right word. Like I get kind of triggered when I watch stuff like that because it makes me feel how I feel as a Black nurse in America and as a Black woman in America. It makes me feel like no matter how much we call for help, right? Like he was calling for help, like how much he calls for help, how much we advocate for ourselves, how much we work hard to prove that, you know, we're capable and we're passionate and we're educated, that it takes nothing for someone to walk in with a smug smile on their face and get away with murder. And whether that murder is the murder of George Floyd, whether that murder is the murder of your career, the murder of your integrity, your dignity, the murder of your hopes, your faith in people, your trust, like, and it probably sounds like a long stretch, but it, I just have to be honest about how it makes me feel. And so I ended up organizing a solidarity gathering. And I didn't want to call it a protest because in some forms it was a protest. In others, we were just, it was a solidarity gathering. I mean, I think that there is so much power in oneness and coming together in community. And that's why I wanted us to all come together. And that's why I think we all have a collective voice as nurses and as Black nurses. But we kneeled for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. And what I will say is that silence is the most uncomfortable space to be in. Silence. And kneeling for that amount of time, I prayed that whole amount of time. And I mean, just like super deep prayer. But my goal was, what I thought about is being in a place of silence for 8 minutes. I can't imagine going through my whole entire life feeling silenced. I can't imagine what people feel when they go to work every day and they feel silenced. And I'll tell you, as much as I've experienced things, I will say something. Now, that was my new nurse mistake, is that I didn't advocate for myself, but I quit. I quit shortly afterwards. I got to my 1 year and I quit. And I remember moving on to Cleveland Clinic, and I remember that nurse manager telling me that I was not going to make it because I was a new nurse and I only had a year of experience. And back in the day, 10 years ago, it was like taboo to go to another job if you weren't there for like 5 years. Like the whole like get a year of experience and then move somewhere else, that was not happening when I was a new nurse. Like you stayed somewhere for years and you left. And so I was probably that first generation of nurses that was like, yeah, nah, but I don't like it here, so I would not go somewhere that I like it. You know, like we were that first generation, that 2000, what is it, 11, 12, 13, like that realm of nurses. There was a lot of nursing traditions that were broken during that time. A lot of like nurses eat your young culture things, a lot of, you know, residencies. I was the first class to have a residency. And so that was another culture breaker that I came in on, which was you couldn't leave after a year. You wouldn't get a recommendation and, you know, no one would support you. And I just remember it was the scariest move I ever made. But I did, and I went to Cleveland Clinic, and I went from med-surg to open-heart surgeries, and I walked in with my head down. And I remember the manager that interviewed me, she was like, why? You're going to be great. And I remember she just, the one that I transitioned to when she was interviewing me, she's like, you're going to be great. You're going to do fine. But you just didn't get that. You didn't get that. And so, in that silence, you just want to always have a voice, you know, always speak up. And for yourself, always speak up. You know, we have no problem advocating for other people, but making sure that we're advocating for ourselves. And then lastly, as I kind of close this out, because I've been just getting a lot off my chest today, but take care of yourself. That is the number one form of advocacy, is taking care of yourself. When you take care of yourself, you take back your power, okay? And I know that especially we as Black women, we do not believe that, we believe in putting everything else first. And I was just talking to one of my nurse managers today, and I was just asking her, I was rounding on my units, and I was like, hey, you know, how was your weekend? And she was like, it was great. And she told me all of these things that she was doing for everybody else. And I was like, what did you do for yourself? And she's a Black woman, she's fire. And she was just like, she didn't do anything. She was like, I will, you know, one of these days. And I was like, an hour. Just an hour. And she was just like, I don't, you know, she just was used to it. And I by no means know, you know, what that life is like yet, right? Like, God willing, I will definitely have me some like beautiful babies running around and a husband that's like getting on my nerves for dinner. But for right now, cherish everything that you have. And so I said I was going to get her like a little self-care, a couple of self-care items, because I don't want to see any more Black women sacrificing their hearts, their minds, their bodies for a world that does not care about them the way it should, right? And I know our families love us and I know they mean well, but as nurses, we have to fill our own cups. Just the other day, I was telling myself, like, man, I think I'm getting in a funk. And I think it had a lot to do with the fact that I'm running. I'm trying to stay on top of diversity things and advocating for us as nurses and lifestyle things. And, you know, and I just kind of took a step back and I said, no, you have to put yourself first. So I started meditating again, which I would do, but just not frequently. And I went on my morning walks and I did that for maybe 3 or 4 days. I just gave myself like the first hour and a half in the morning and I feel better. Like I've started to see the benefits of it actually today. And I was like, I am more productive. I am less irritated. You know, I feel like I have more room to breathe. I can actually podcast. And so, you know, that hour that I was dedicating to myself, it gave me back almost a day. So I know we don't see the benefits of it right away, but pour into yourself. If I could leave you guys with anything, it is that you are powerful. You are powerful beyond measure. Just in your existence, just in being who you are, just in being a nurse who has a 4-year degree, you are now in another financial bracket. You are now in another class. If you're a nursing student, like, you are powerful. You are dreaming of something that is gonna forever change your life. Like, nursing for African-American students, for minority students, for Hispanic students, for underserved communities, nursing is our way out. And if you have made it out, do not take that for granted. Do not take it for granted that you were powerful enough to break a cycle, to break, you know, a generation of, you know, whatever it was, poverty, abuse, financial literacy, just anything that you had to overcome. And know this, that the reason we are most feared, the reason that we get treated the way we do as nurses and as people of color, is because they know our power. They know our power. They know what we can do when we put our minds to it. They know what we can say when we are unapologetic. Think about telling somebody off and you did not care. They probably walked away crying because they knew you were right. So think about that. Like, think about who you are and think about how you can continuously tap into your power. Self-care, using your voice, unifying, staying as a community. I look forward to wherever the future is taking us. I will probably podcast again soon once life calms down. But for now, stay strong, stay resilient, research, you know, give yourself some grace, peace, love, and blessings. I'm out.
And that's our show for today. If you enjoyed today's episode, please continue to listen and share this podcast with your favorite nurse friends. You can follow us online at Black Girl Blue Scrubs on Instagram and email us at info@blackgirlbluescrubs.org to submit feedback or share your nursing story. You can also email us on topics you would like to recommend or guest speakers you want to hear from. Visit our website at www.blackgirlbluescrubs.org and subscribe to be the first to know about podcast episodes and meetups in a city near you. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Through the Nursing Lens.